Welcome to the ministry of Gene Fraser. We trust that the word you're about to hear will have a transforming effect on your life. Now, here's Gene with today's message.
Psalm chapter 34. Let's start in verse 11. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. This is how we're going to enjoy life. Verse 11, I want to read that in the English version. Come, my young friends, listen to me as I teach the word of God tonight. And I will teach you to honor the Lord. So it's kind of like there's a gathering. And even tonight, you know, come. Let's be taught the word of God. And tonight we're going to learn how to honor the Lord. And so I've got a question as we gather to learn this. So would you like to enjoy life? That's what the scripture says. I believe they should have it up there, the English version. Would you like to enjoy life? What would we say? I mean, obviously, right? Would you like to enjoy life? Yes. It's really an easy class to be a part of. Do you want long life and happiness? Do you want long life and happiness? Then this is how you do it. Then keep from speaking evil and from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Strive for peace with all your heart. And that's how we're going to enjoy life, by being a doer of God's word. And tonight, I'm telling you, this scripture lit up to me. The word fear, in some other translations, like in this translation we read, it translates honor. Another translation translates respect. And so, you know, let's face it, our flesh doesn't get very excited when we start talking about the fear of the Lord, you know? Because this started off really good, right? You know, how to enjoy life. We're all here. Well, this is a message on how to enjoy life. And all of a sudden, fear of the Lord. Okay. Not sure if I need to enjoy it that much. I mean, it can be okay. No. So think about it. When you honor and respect someone, you will simply do what they say. I mean, this isn't difficult. And I just believe the Lord, the Spirit of God, is just here tonight to help us take into our hearts and into our spirits this word that he so wants to get in us, to help us, to propel us, to raise us up, to be who we have been called to be. And sometimes people look and they're like, you know, life doesn't really seem to be working. Well, this is some things to really check up on. But when you honor and respect someone, as we're saying, we need to learn the fear of the Lord. That's talking about honoring the Lord, respecting the Lord. Well, you're going to simply do what they say, right? And why is that? Because you honor them, you respect them. You know they know more than you. I'm going to read it again, Psalm 34, 4, 11. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? To that man I say, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And so what I want to talk about here is that depart from evil. So depart from evil. What does that mean, to depart from evil? Because, I mean, am I in the room that the people, they want to enjoy life? Am I in the same room? Yes, okay, I thought so. This is the room that they want long life and happiness. They want to enjoy life. Am I with the right group? Okay, good. So then this is how we're going to do it. All right? And we're not getting into this. This is not what God put on my heart. But before this, it comes in verse 13. Well, first it says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. There's a whole message in that, and that's not for tonight. But then it goes on to say in verse 14, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So depart from evil. Well, let's face it. I mean, in a way you think, well, what in the world can you say about that? That's pretty self-explanatory. Depart from evil. But let's break it down a little. So that word depart in the Hebrew, it means to turn off. So we're talking about departing from evil. And let's just even say evil. What is evil? Just anything bad, right? Evil, anything bad. And you know that bad can really, it's not so much maybe, you know, you think of evil, you think of like, you know, just some terrible, deep, dark sins. And, you know, you just think of just nasty stuff maybe. But not necessarily, you know, evil. What about just unbelief? Unbelief is sin. It's evil. But we don't really think in our head that unbelief is evil. But God is very clear in his word that unbelief is evil. And what is unbelief? Not believing God. And then over in James chapter 4, verse 7, in the Amplified, this is so good. We went over this last week when we were in another message. But James 4, 7 in the Amplified, it says, so any person who knows what is right to do but does not do it, to him it is sin. So when we know to do something, when we know something's right and we know to do it, and then we choose not to do it, that's called sin. To God, that's evil. And so I just believe that God is wanting to help light us up tonight. Light those things up. And you know why? Because he wants to lift us up tonight. And sometimes we need things lit up so we can go up higher into him, higher into God. And so that word depart, to turn off. So we're departing from evil. Turn off evil. Well, immediately what I think, a TV, computer screen. What is it? Turn off. Departing from evil, to turn off. To reject. To put aside. I think about that, about in Hebrews chapter 12, what we were going over last week, about laying aside every weight and sin. Do you remember that? Laying aside every weight and sin. We're to lay them aside. Here, this depart, it's to put aside. And here's another one, depart, to bring to an end. And so many times I feel that is the problem. We're not willing to bring it to an end. We're thinking, I still kind of want to be its friend. In our heart, we need to make that heart choice and give it voice. That evil's coming to an end. And again, we're going to get into some things here. And all of this is about a choice. But I believe God is speaking to us. And he wants us to get this. He wants us to do this so we can be who he's created us to be. Amen. There is such greatness in you and me. There is such purpose. There is such God. But we got to choose. Do we win or are we going to lose? Or are we going to snooze? So that's what that depart from evil means. Just that decision, just to bring it to an end. And you know, I'm reminded of a pastor he shared so many times back when he first got saved. Remember, he talks about the TV with him and how that thing, he said, you have power. He said, I won't get into the whole thing, but he talked about that TV. And one night he looked, he's like, you have power, and that's it. And he pulled that plug on that TV and he said, no more. Because see, in his heart, he was wanting to go home and spend time with the Lord. And he'd go and start cooking his dinner and he just flipped the TV on. And before he knew it, it was 11 o'clock at night, whatever, and it's time to go to bed. And one night he realized, you have power. And he pulled that plug. And I think it was for a week that first time. And it was so funny. The next day he comes home and he went to click it on. He's like, oh, he had pulled the plug. He brought it to an end. Yeah. I believe in his heart he committed to a week. But he really did what was in his heart then. And that TV wasn't able to get in the way of him seeking God, hearing from God, and praying. So sometimes you gotta just turn it off. In Job chapter 28, verse 28, I'm gonna read this. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. See, the more we get understanding, the more we understand, I need to depart from evil. Because you start to understand, hey, the devil, he's really got a plan. And the devil does have a plan for every man, but so does God. And so we need to decide to turn from evil, to depart from evil, That's just the beginning of understanding. You feel like, man, what's the deal when I get in the Word? Or, you know, I don't really seem to understand anything. Check up on this. As you depart from evil, that's the beginning of understanding. But if we're not willing to depart from any evil, we think we can serve God and His Son and keep having fun. But yet fun, what is fun? Remember? God spoke to Pastor one time. Yeah, out of his mouth came, I'm one with fun. I am fun. I don't have to try and go and have fun. I am fun. Anybody fun out there? So departing from evil, that is the beginning of understanding. Psalm 119, 115 in the Amplified. You ready for this? This one's good. Depart from me. This is the psalmist. The psalmist is saying, depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Of my God. Hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying them. This psalmist understood. He had to tell those evildoers, get away, depart from me. He had to turn it off. He had to reject it. He had to put it aside, and he had to bring it to an end. He needed those evildoers to depart from him. He knew if he was going to keep the commandments of his God. Life will be really hard, you trying to keep the commandments of your God and hanging around evildoers. It doesn't work. It can't work. Evildoers, who are evildoers? They do evil, right? Evildoers do evil. So sometimes departing from evil, you need to depart from some people. The psalmist knew those evildoers had to depart from his presence, had to depart from his life in order for him to go after God's heart. He knew those evildoers needed to depart. And he told them, depart from me, you that do evil. He wasn't afraid to speak up and hurt their feelings, maybe. Hey, man, I'm not agreeing with the way you're living anymore. This relationship has got to end. I've got to put an end to this. It's God's word, isn't it? Very clear. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, in the New International Version, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? What's the answer? Nothing. Righteousness and wickedness, do they have anything in common? No. Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Can light have any fellowship with darkness? No. Now, some people try and live like it can, but it doesn't. What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? It's basically the devil. Is there any harmony between God and the devil? No. What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? If you're a believer and then there's an unbeliever, what would you both have in common? Nothing. What argument is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. I believe at times we've heard these different scriptures. And, you know, it might seem, wow, a lot to hear them all at one time. But it's good. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone, what does everyone mean? I think it means everyone. Let everyone who names the name of Christ, let everyone who names the name of Christ, Jesus is my Lord, depart from iniquity. Depart from iniquity, to turn off, to reject, to put aside, to bring to an end. Bad. Anything that's not of God. And it goes on in verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. In the Amplified, I want to read that verse 21 to help make it a little more clear. So whoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences, he will then himself be a vessel set apart. Everybody say set apart. Set apart and useful. Useful for honorable and noble purposes. Guys, we serve an honorable God and we are honorable. We are to be honorable children, respectful children, honorable children. And what does that mean? Well, simply we do what he says then, isn't it? We don't have to question it. We don't have to doubt it. We surely shouldn't pout about it. Your children ever pout about something you told them to do? Let's not be pouters and doubters. Let's be believers and receivers. But he will be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to the master. I want to be profitable to the master. Fit and ready for any good work. When you choose to depart, you are set apart. When you choose to depart, you are set apart, or you're setting yourself apart. Remember, God chooses those who choose him. God's not looking to find favorites. He's looking for who's choosing him. And those are the ones he chooses. And see, that's what he's doing here. As a body of believers, I believe, God, he's looking for those who will choose him because he wants to choose you. Psalm 45, verse 7. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you. Here, he's talking about Jesus. Let's start in verse 6. This is about Jesus. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. We're the children of God, just like Jesus. And we are to love righteousness and hate wickedness. It doesn't say love righteousness and be okay with some of the wickedness. Remember with God, it's black or it's white. There's no gray to what he does say. And every day we're given a choice. What way? But I love that it goes on. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you. It sounds like, hey, I'm set apart, useful, and honorable for his service. He has anointed me to do his work. Why? Because I love righteousness and hate wickedness. So you're useful, you're consecrated, and you're profitable when you do that. And who wouldn't say in their heart, what child of God wouldn't say, I want to be useful? I mean, nobody wants to not be useful. We want to be useful. We want to be consecrated to him. We want to be profitable to the plan of God, right? Of course we do. But it's like, let's not let another day go by where some of these things we just, what God says, deny. He's looking for us to step away from some things so we can step it up with him. And it's a growing process as he reveals things to us and convicts our heart. But we always want to have that soft, tender heart and knowing that this is not in my own power and strength, I'm going to do this thing. But God, you are with me, and your word comforts me, and it empowers me to do what it says. We've got the words of God that instruct us, and at the same time, they give us the power to do what we're instructed to do. None of us are with excuse. We've got everything we need. We've got him. Do you have him? So it's learning that, it's understanding that, it's drawing from that, it's drawing from the words of God, the life of God, the presence of God, the power of God, the amazingness of God, the holiness of God. Just taking it all in and think, oh God, I'm ready. What is it? Let's do it. Let's begin. And we did that one day when we got saved and we prayed. But who knows, that wasn't the one and only choice we'd ever have to make. Every day, life is full of choices, is it not? Every day, life is full of choices. And think about it, if there was a running tab, good choices, bad choices, God choices, evil choices, where would you be, you and me? All good choices, all choices for righteousness, all choices for holiness and godliness. That's who we are. It's who we were created to be. We're people of purpose, you see. And so in God's purposes, there's things that need to be. And some things that can't be anymore if you're going to keep going on for what you are here for. Come on, guys, we can do it. I mean, to me, it is so, it's just so exhilarating to know that this is what God would say tonight, and this would be the flow. Because I know then this is what he's speaking to us. He would not be requiring this of us if he knew we would automatically fail and that the enemy would prevail. He knows we have what it takes. He knows we have him. He knows we were born to win. Let's stop going the loser way. At times, those choices you have in the day. Am I choosing the win way or the lose way? And sometimes we think those little choices, oh, what's the big deal? It's a big deal. Because every choice matters. And every choice, if it's a good one, what if it's a bad one? If you make a bad choice, it gives access. It gives the enemy a voice to help you now move into another bad choice. You get caught. But we can make the right choice and we can follow the right voice. And as we do, that strengthens me and you. It strengthens us in our stance for righteousness and for holiness. Come on, guys, you know, you think about it. There's been times where you know, man, it was a choice, and man, I mean, it was a temptation. You know, there was a resisting of whatever it was. There was a resisting to not do evil and to do good. And you did as you should. And what happened? Man, it just empowers you, doesn't it? It just empowers you for the next choice. Deuteronomy 30, chapter 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses again today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Or we could say, I've set before you good and bad. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. He said, I set before you blessing and cursing, you know, good and bad, life and death. But what did he say? Therefore, choose life. It's like he gave us the answer. But he didn't say, now, because I know life is the way you need to pick it, I'm going to force you to go that way. No, he gave us the choice, but he said, choose life. In every choice, may we continue to choose life. Choosing life is choosing him. Not choosing life, choosing evil, choosing the bad is rejecting him. And that's not a safe place, church. We want to stay in him. We're going to stay in him, aren't we? And then it goes on to verse 20. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. But it starts with the choice, and we choose life. Remember, it's not just the day we got saved and said that prayer. It's in every day as we live out there. We choose life. And as we choose life, that's helping us. That's helping us to press on to verse 20, that we love him, that we love the Lord our God, and that we would obey his voice. Don't think we're going to walk and obey his voice if there's all these wrong choices. We're following wrong voices. We're to be following God's voice, right? obeying him, following his voice, following what he said, obeying him. And that you may cling to him. And so, you know, I'm going to take that and remember that next time I need to make a choice, picture that. I believe the Holy Spirit, he'll give us that illustration and help you in that next moment, that choice you have. Picture yourself clinging to Jesus. Picture yourself clinging to Christ. If we're truly clinging to him and to his life, we're not going to let go and say, there's something better. Not if you're really clinging to him. We want to cling to him because he is our life. Choose life, then cling to life. We choose it and we keep a hold of it. That word cling means to stick with, follow closely, to catch by pursuit, to run after. So we're sticking to Jesus. Stay stuck. I just want to stay stuck to life. I just want to stay stuck to good. I just want to stay stuck to God. And if I'm stuck to him, whatever type of pull the world might have to try and pull me off of who I'm clinging and sticking to, it won't be able to do it. Because with God, I'm sticking to him. I'd stick like glue if I were you. Don't pull out the goo gone when we're stuck to him. Keep that goo gone far away. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Awesome scripture. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. It's a fight, guys. It's a fight. I believe by the Spirit of God tonight, he's like putting in a fight for us to always choose right with us. It's an impartation of a fight tonight to do that which is right. Abhor, that's a strong word, isn't it? It doesn't mean, don't like it. Yeah, I know, it's not that bad, but yeah. Abhor it. Hate it. I'm not supposed to hate. You're supposed to hate evil. I know a lot of the church world doesn't really walk in this, but I want to be a house of honor. I want to be a holy habitation. I want to be used for such purpose for God. And I don't want to get there one day and realize I gave up a lot because of what I thought was so good. You see, abhor, hate what is evil. What is evil? Bad. And come on, our conscience knows, right? Let's not lie to ourselves. Don't allow yourself to lie to yourself. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Cling to what is good. In the Amplified, let your love be sincere, a real thing. Hate what is evil. Loathe all ungodliness. Turn in horror from wickedness. I know some people, they actually turn on horror for fun. We're being told to turn in horror from wickedness. And I know this is a big stretch for some people sometimes, and we're all at different levels in our consecration to the Lord, but he is calling every one of us up higher now into what we're for. So you take this where it fits with you and let God speak to you and help you do what you know now you must do. And this is how it ought to be looking with us. We ought to be, it would get to the point that we are to be turn in horror from wickedness. Not turning to horror for fun, turning from horror, turning in horror from wickedness. Man, but hold fast to that which is good. Sounds like cling, doesn't it? And you know what? With these choices, there's something that's very important, that we don't have wrong voices helping us make wrong choices. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21 in the Amplified. Who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences. So we always want to stay in check. Are there any types of those influences in my life? And if there are, there's something I need to do about it. If I want to depart from evil and do good. Now, if I don't care, then just let all those influences stay right there. So watch that word influences. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Do not be deceived. Tell yourself, I'm not going to be deceived. But notice he's saying this to the church. So I guess that means that we could be deceived, couldn't we? Because he's saying, don't be. Don't be deceived. You can be deceived. Don't be. Don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company corrupts good habits. And you know, sometimes it's really the weirdest thing, but we got to just put it in line for what it really is. Sometimes you're like, well, I don't want to give them up. They've just been a good friend, or they've been a friend of the family for I don't know how long. Yeah, you know what? I want to stay in God's family. I'm staying in God's family. Do I have any takers? Yeah. In the Amplified of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, do not be so deceived and misled. Me? I can be misled? Absolutely. That's why he's telling us not to. How can I be so misled? Evil companionships, communion, associations, corrupt and deprave good manners, morals, and character. Is that just not the way it is, guys? It is. That word corrupt, evil company corrupts good habits, corrupts, perverts, ruins, to cause the moral ruin of, to destroy. Evil company is going to destroy any good habits we might have in the Lord. You think, oh no, I'm in their life to help them and to reach them. If I wasn't in their life, what would happen? No, don't be deceived. They're changing you. Oh no, I won't let that happen. That doesn't matter, sweetie. That's what happens. Evil company corrupts good habits. That's what my Bible says. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. And have no fellowship. Everybody say no fellowship. Oh, come on. A little fellowship? And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Works of darkness are absolutely unfruitful. But rather expose them. Whoa, I thought love covers. Well, sometimes it exposes. For it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. It's shameful to even speak of those things that are done by them in secret. We'll let you think about all that later. To depart takes a decision from the heart. So we're learning, but we need to depart from evil, right? So someone can't just tell you, you got to do this and you just do it. It's going to take a decision of our heart to choose to depart. It's a decision of your heart. I can't make the choice for you to depart from evil. Now I can encourage you and exhort you and help warn you through the scriptures that this is what you should do. Choose life. But I can't force you. Just like you can't do that to me. It's me. I've got to make the choice to depart. You have to make your choice to depart. Psalm 97, verse 10. You who love the Lord, hate evil. That's what the Bible says. So if we, it's a good checkup right here. Because to the degree that we hate evil is truly to the degree that we do actually love the Lord. But if we're still enjoying some evil, we are not fully loving the Lord to the greatest degree that can be coming from you and me. So depart from evil and do good. Do good. In the Hebrew, the word do, to be busy, commit, be occupied with good. So we're told to depart from evil. And then, okay, so I've departed from evil. Now what do I do? Do good. I mean, that seems all pretty simple, do good. But I just wanted to bring out in the Hebrew what that word do means. To be busy. So be busy with good. Be committed to good. Living a life of consecration is living a life of commitment. Be occupied with good. Come on. There's some things that would really try to occupy us. Is it good? Is it God? Be occupied with good. Be occupied with God. Do good. And then in 2 Timothy, we're going to go back to that scripture. We were at 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read now in verse 22 and 23. We were up, we read to verse 21, and now we're going to continue on. Verse 22 and 23 in the Amplified. Shun youthful lusts and flee from them. And aim at and pursue righteousness, all that is virtuous and good, right living, conformity to the will of God in thought, word, and deed. And aim at and pursue faith, love, and peace, harmony and concord with others, in fellowship with all Christians who call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. What a mouthful. But look at that. Aim at, pursue righteousness. Everything that's good, right living, not wrong living, not bad living, good living, godly living. Godly people ought to be living godly. Or I should say it this way, godly people do live godly. God's people ought to be living godly. Godly people live godly. But not all God's people are living godly. And then it goes on, right living, conformity to the will of God. Not conforming to the will of the enemy. He's got a plan. And if we don't line up with God's will, he'll make sure his will comes in and you'll fulfill his will. Sin. So we want to be busy, committed, and occupied with good. So depart from evil and do good. So it's a choice. It's a commitment. It's a clinging to. Depart from bad.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Gene Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org or call 888-542-2555. You can hear more messages by Jean Fraser by going to her media page at jeanfraser.org. While you're there, you'll also find more information about Jean's bi-monthly Ladies Bible Studies and a Night in the Glory Ladies Meetings, as well as her annual You Glow Girl Ladies Conference. That website again is jeanfraser.org. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.